This is The World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. Writing and recording an album with an 8-member band is tricky enough during normal times. Recording an album with an 8-member band in 2020, that was a whole new challenge. But Portland band Typhoon did it, and you'll hear all about how their new album, Sympathetic Magic, came together during the COVID pandemic. It all started with ideas from frontman Kyle Morton. He joins me today, and you'll hear live recordings of songs from the album with all 8 members. Here they are. This is Typhoon, recorded live for World Cafe, their song, Empire Builder.
Turning east like the rising blade of the guillotine in North Dakota, metastasizing the oil shares and the entropy, and the waves of darkness hold over me as the dying sun goes down. In the dining car, in my assigned seat, my neighbor's conversation's turning ugly, a labyrinth of conspiracies, proving he is good and he's got enemies. And tiny points of light I see haphazardly scattered in the void like so much blurred feet. And I hope it's enough. Just goes on forever, nobody's answering. Except the car, ever slippery. Are you outside of time? Are you in everything? I find the sacred buried in me, and I will cut it out. Well, everyone is watching, it will not be enough. The world's against you like the deck is stacked. But don't get started, you're smarter than that. You and I, we both know that
everybody's angry.
You just heard Empire Builder, recorded live by Portland band Typhoon. It's from their new album, Sympathetic Magic. Today, I'm joined by Typhoon frontman Kyle Morton. Kyle, welcome back to the World Cafe.
Thanks so much for having me, Raina. It's my pleasure.
It's great to have you. So you finished that song and wrote the rest of the songs on this album over the past year during the pandemic. And people have talked about how this is a time that kind of feels apocalyptic.
Yeah.
How did the pandemic factor into your songwriting?
It was, I mean, and from my view in Portland, Oregon, it felt extremely apocalyptic by the time we had the wildfires. You know, right. It just was like you couldn't see our neighbor's house and the sky was blood red. And so yeah, I mean, the apocalyptic kind of vision is very, that resonates. I think that resonates with a lot of people. You know, COVID-19 has been such a shock to the system, and it's been many years of shocks for America, both politically and socially. And, you know, but we already wrote our apocalyptic record. We were ahead of the curve, but our last record, Offerings, was very much like my kind of total neurosis about like what could and will go wrong, like in our age. Trying to condense that down into what ended up being a 75-minute concept record.
And I mean, that record came out in 2018. And then things, I don't want to just say things got worse, but I mean, you wrote an apocalyptic album like 4 years ago, 3 years ago, and now things are the way they are.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a worry wart, and it has some benefits, which, you know, like I mean, not that I predicted anything terribly specific with that, but it kind of, you know, worrying about things can prepare you for some of the, some of what's to come. I try to remember that like good things are possible too. That's kind of like my mantra these days, because we're all very familiar with negative feedback loops now, both like whether it's global warming or epidemics or whatever, but like good things can happen too. And those can also have feedback loops. And like, I'm trying to convince myself right now. I don't know if you can tell, but...
I remember reading when the pandemic started, there were stories about people who dealt with anxiety who actually felt almost better at the beginning of the pandemic because they're like, well, now everybody gets this.
My mental state now matches my surroundings. Yeah. I ran into a little bit of that. I think there was a lot of like, I think it was really paradoxical for a lot of us who suddenly, especially at the beginning, had all this time. You know, I had a lot of friends who'd felt burnt out at work or whatever it was, or, you know, emotionally overwrought and just not having any time to like deal with just the housekeeping of living. And then suddenly you have all this time. So it was weird, but you know, I keep saying like, I will give back sympathetic magic and any good things that for me came out of the pandemic, if we could just get rid of the pandemic. I mean, it's not worth it.
Right.
But you know, there was some silver linings, I guess.
Could you tell me about sitting in your garden and how you would clear your mind to write?
Yeah. What became my writing for this record really started out as a very simple, like, just trying to slow it down. I mean, my mind just has a tendency to race and kind of be all over the place. And it's, you know, I'm 35 years old and I'm used to it at this point, but I'm always trying to figure out how to like make that kind of like the frenetic way my mind works kind of like yield some fruit. So I just would sit and like make myself sit still, which is hard for me, and try to have a thought and try to feel the continuity of that thought and see where it goes. And like what was really important for this is not having my phone around, not having a computer around, not having any disruptive technology, and just trying to like build out my attention span a little bit. And that's all it was. I mean, I wasn't even trying to write a song, but suddenly I could kind of feel my imagination, like the window of my imagination, just like widening, just opening. And that was really, I mean, that's kind of one of the best things that's happened to me in this last year, was just kind of the reopening of my mind. I mean, not to sound like too much of a Luddite, but I think like modern technology, just like this is pretty empirically demonstrable, just obliterates our attention spans like on mass scale. So that's, it's important to remember the kind of thoughts you can't have when you're in that mind state. So I just sit in my backyard and just, you know, a song would pop in, like the song Time, which is on the back half of the record. I wrote that in like 20 minutes and it kind of just like, it was just a kind of stream of consciousness song.
Let's listen to a little bit of Time from the record.
Nope, sure.
This is Time from Typhoon.
Time, oh, unanswerable time. Yeah, you've seen the future, you know the way that I die. But don't tell me, I'd rather you be a surprise when you come crashing apart.
on World Cafe, Time Time. That's from Typhoon's new album, Sympathetic Magic. I'm speaking with Kyle Morton of Typhoon right now. Let's talk about how the pandemic factored into the actual recording of the album, because Typhoon has a lot of members. I know for the live performances that we're hearing today, there are 8 of you playing.
Yeah.
Sometimes there can be more. How do you record an album with so many people while still social distancing in a pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, recording a Typhoon record's like pretty challenging under normal circumstances, like just getting everybody out. This was a different approach. We've never done it like this, but I basically just didn't tell anybody I was writing a record. I operate best when there's little to no pressure. I could never be an athlete for this reason. I wrote the whole record. I wrote the whole thing and I recorded all the demos kind of under the cover of darkness. And then I was like, surprise. I wrote an email to my band and our label. Like, I've got this thing. And then it was really just like trying to figure out, like, so many people just recorded their own parts and so many people are like talented engineers in their own right. And then I built this studio in our basement. This was like the first couple of months of COVID. I like had to do something. So we used this and I think we scrapped it together.
I mean, there is so much going on instrumentally on the record, and it made me wonder, you know, technically, when you have all of these people performing in different places in like a different sounding room, sending it in different formats off a phone.
Yeah.
How do you make sure that it all actually works together?
Yeah, that's definitely a concern. I should give a shout out to our mixing engineer, Jeff Stewart Saltzman, because like if the thing sounds cohesive, that's probably thanks to him. But yeah, it was, I think we just tried to lean into the, it's an artifact of its time, which means it's an artifact of isolation and kind of, you know, being atomized. So it kind of made sense for everything to sort of be compartmentalized. You know, you can hear the acoustics of Eric's like pantry or wherever it was that he recorded. You know, it's all these tiny little spaces and times that have then kind of we try to stitch into the thing.
I'm speaking with Kyle Morton of Typhoon today on World Cafe. The next song we're going to hear you perform is called Masochist Ball, and it has some pretty arresting lyrics. When I first heard it, I was like, oh, on the first line. It starts out, this song, sounding like you're addressing somebody else. Then it switches into first person. What can you tell us about what's going on in Masochist Ball?
Yeah, this is about as close to shock value as I've written, but it's the first line is you deserve to die, and it's... Yeah, I mean, that, to me, this song is it was kind of an important like meditation on. Yeah, I'm gonna wade into a minefield here a little bit, but just okay, I'll just call it the culture of the internet and sort of just the constantly trying to export blame from oneself onto another and the way we internalize that. And you're right, and that's the song. The song starts out within this kind of second person. You deserve to die. You deserve painful burning needles in your eye and every clever punishment and your cunning you devise. It's, you know, extremely harsh sort of thing to say to somebody, which to me kind of feels like anytime I step into Twitter or step into social media as this kind of like exaggerated, hyperbolic... animus, and it's just like the atmosphere that creates is so hostile, and I think we internalize that a lot, especially because I think the internet operates on such a subjective level for us. So I was really interested in this kind of sadomasochist turn where like you don't need to attack me, I'm already sort of internalizing all of this, I already think I deserve to die and I'm worthless and I'm, you know, and I, you know, and all the bad things coming, like I've already sort of been over them in my head ruminating.
That first verse, now that you've said that, it's like I can absolutely imagine turning on, like opening Twitter and seeing someone who said basically the exact.
I mean, I'm going to put like cancel culture in quotes because that's such a loaded term and it's like so politically operative right now. But so I would stay away from that and you just use a different vocabulary, which is like, is this a place where we feel like at peace, or we feel like we can actually have an honest communication and an honest conversation with someone? And like, I mean, the easy answer is no. I mean, not really. Mm-hmm. Not on Twitter.
Yeah.
I think that's a great question to be asking ourselves.
Yeah.
Let's take a listen.
It's Typhoon with Masochist Ball.
You deserve to die. You deserve pain for burning needles in your eyes. In every clever punishment in your cunning you devise. Hold back nothing. You deserve to fry. The clock tower is ticking and you are running out of time. To atone for being born, let alone your whole miserable life. Yeah, you better hurry. Don't be angry. Don't raise your hand like Cain. You should be sorry for me, baby. Everything that I have come in, it's been with me all the time. Just like that's ever the tension that can never be resolved. It's a God miracle. And its beauty is terrible. I skip the last meal. I can't taste it anyway. You should feel sorry for me, baby. Everything that I have come in, I've already fantasize. When I get too comfortable, I just don't imagine in a world where everybody wants me. And I'm imagining a world where everybody hates me. And I just try to spit the line. I would be nothing, but I would settle for being right.
Typhoon performing their song Masochist Ball from their latest album Sympathetic Magic. This is World Cafe. I'm speaking with Typhoon frontman Kyle Morton. So, Kyle, you wrote all the songs on the record. The band didn't know you were working on them. You sent them the recorded demos. How did the rest of the band react when you suddenly sent them all these demos in an email?
You're like, oh, cool. He's got a record. It's hard to tell, honestly. Everyone can relate to this, but it's like, if it was in normal times, we would be at our rehearsal space and I'd say like, here's a song. And I could, you know, there'd be a very dynamic interaction of like, do you like it? Do you not? You don't? Okay. Well, you know, I tried. But if they like it, it's palpable and you can feel it in the way we play it. In this, it's like, you know, Typhoon started a Slack channel. And it's just like, they sent me some GIFs and people seemed excited. And a couple of people I talked on the phone about it, but it's hard to gauge because you don't have that sort of collective feeling of excitement, like of being in a room together.
It's a challenging time for any artist to release an album, especially when you can't go on tour. Why did it feel so urgent to get these songs that you were working on out into the world?
I mean, the songs to me are so specific. Like I think they deal with some more or less universal themes, but like to me they felt so specific to the time and to the isolation, and to some of the political and social moments that were occurring. That and you know, I was watching, you know, events and disasters unfold from here, just thinking like, well, from one day to the next, like everything's changing. So I don't know what it's going to be like next year. And so I'm hoping like midway through 2021, like we're in a whole different, it's a whole different ball game and a different atmosphere and on all sorts of levels. But, and I didn't know if we release this record in like late 2021, early 2022, it was just going to be like, well, what is, you know, this is an artifact now. It's irrelevant. So it felt important to get it out.
The album came out in January, but the last song that we're going to hear the band perform and the last song on the album, Welcome to the Endgame, came out a few months earlier at the end of October, right before the election. So why is this song, which ends the album and is also, you know, about the end of something, the one you chose to release first?
Yeah, thanks for asking. When I said the song belonged to a particular time, the record belongs to a particular time, I especially think of this song, which I wrote. So my wife and I, I'm immunocompromised. I for this pandemic, I've been at home, like been boy in the bubble pretty much, with the exception of when the protests were happening in Portland. My wife and I were at those this over the summer very regularly, you know, sometimes every night of the week, because to us it was important, and we were inspired by some other people who were brave enough to go out, and in turn, you know, I know I had friends that came out because we went out, and that's how it worked. And I know there's been a lot of national coverage about Portland, and I would try to like urge people to like dig into it a little bit because it's a complex dynamic here.
But how so? When you say it's a complex dynamic, I mean, you don't have to like.
Well, yeah.
I'm not putting you on the spot, I hope, but I just.
No, not at all.
That's interesting.
Not at all. It's another minefield we'll walk into a little bit here. But, you know, if you're on the right, you think anarchist jurisdiction, Antifa is burning down all the buildings. You know, like we had family members like, are you guys okay? Antifa's blowing up Portland. And if you're on the left, you're sort of like, it doesn't matter that all these local businesses are getting their windows smashed because this is more important. And it's sort of like, if you live here and you're thoughtful about it, like it's neither of those things. I mean, some of those things are Antifa's super overblown. Like it's not highly organized movement. It is an element of things here in Portland and abroad, but I'll just say like, it's not the bogeyman that it's being made out to be. But so if you live here, you sort of have to like reconcile, like life is going on. People in Portland are trying to just get on with their lives and they're trying to do the right thing for the most part. And for the protests, like I was super inspired by all of them because like thousands of people were coming out and they were peaceful for the most part. I mean, there were some rascals like doing some problematic things, but during the summer it was hit a critical mass where you just had like the complete support of the city is what it felt like. In this moment where everyone was so isolated and things felt so bleak. So, you know, this is kind of a roundabout way of coming to writing this song, but I wrote it sort of in that mindset where Danielle and I, my wife and I had been out to these protests every night for like 3 weeks and just feeling pretty weary, but with a certain amount of spiritual energy, but just this kind of meditation on America and what it means and trying to like take responsibility for America, not just trying to blame it for everything or not just try to blame, you know, the disparate elements for everything, try to own it. And to me, that's what that song's about.
Here is Typhoon performing Welcome to the Endgame live for World Cafe.
Kicking, screaming at your sins. but the cue is as good as mine. Prague on both your houses, money where your mouth is, burning down the straw man with a real one inside. Got a candle there to
Welcome to The Endgame, recorded live for World Cafe by Typhoon. I've been speaking with Kyle Morton of Typhoon today on the show. Their new album is called Sympathetic Magic. Kyle, thank you so much for joining me.
Raina, thanks so much for having me. It really was my pleasure.
I'm Raina Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe.